Power clap in 3, 2, 1.
I'm only going to be on for like half an hour, then I got some other stuff.
Right.
Okay. So, welcome to Comcast number 9.
You've done it wrong.
I didn't know which one it was. I was just being a goof.
I think it's 7. 7-2.
You should be sure about that.
It's 7.
Okay. Wait, just to make sure, is your GarageBand still recording?
It is. Okay. I have it. I'm keeping it open as my main window.
Titan. Okay, cool. Titan, is GarageBand still working?
Yes.
Okay.
As of right now, it is.
Good.
Okay, good.
Hey, welcome to Comcast. This is episode 7.2, 7.1, 7-2. We recorded yesterday, and my recording stopped like twice. And I had 40 minutes of recording, and when we had been recording for roughly an hour or so, maybe an hour and a half.
You must have had less than that, or we were recording for longer, because like you cut out like 1/4 of the way through, and then again, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we had been recording like the actual podcast for maybe like an hour, but we had like 30 minutes of extra audio before that. And that was most of what I had, was the extra stuff. So, oops, sorry about that. So, this episode is a little late and probably going to be a little shorter. But, yes, this is episode 7. I am Mike Westfall, one of your hosts. With me tonight is Ian Glenn.
That's me.
And Michael Kahn.
Yo.
Yo. So, here on Comcast, we discuss anime, all facets of anime, all different themes, ideas, everything that we can think of about anime as we approach our first convention, which is Motaku, taking place in Kansas City, August 17th through the 19th. So as we approach that, we will be recording these podcasts weekly, if we can, and discussing things to expand our appreciation and knowledge of the medium.
We are preparing our bodies.
Our bodies are will be almost ready.
Being primed in position.
What?
Oh. What are we talking about again?
Today, we are again discussing genres in anime. Genres, subgenres, metagenres, genres. Whatever we can think of, I guess. Not whatever we can think of, what am I saying? Genres. So, we've each picked two genres, and we discussed them yesterday, but we'll discuss them again now that we've talked a little bit about them and we have some information in our heads about them. So, Ian, do you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyway, what we did yesterday is we picked a genre that we knew about, thought we knew about, and then one we wanted to learn about. And so, like, we were on this website that had a bunch of different anime genres. And I think one of the interesting things is that there were a lot more genres than I thought there were in anime. Because, like, in the United States, it seems like we only ever get, really, like, the action animes where there's people fighting each other. Or at least that was my perception, because when I think of anime, I automatically think of Dragon Ball Z and Rurouni Kenshin, and some of the other shows that I would watch, which were predominantly action, people fighting, stuff like that. But when I was going through the list, I saw one that was called Game. The genre was Game. And like the basis of that type of anime is where the main characters and the story revolve around playing a game. So like Yu-Gi-Oh! Would be considered a game anime, since it's completely based around the card game. Beyblade would be, since that's pretty much a game. Battle Beat-em-on, I think, falls in that category, but I'm not 100% sure, because, like, in the TV show, I don't think it's actually a game. I think they're, like, fighting for their lives, but it's, like, a competition thing.
What is Battle Beat-em-on, exactly?
Battle Beat-em-on is where they have the little shooters that shoot the things, right?
Oh, yeah. I gotcha. With the little marbles or ball bearings or whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, they shoot marbles. I actually had one. It was pretty cool. And I think they made a game as well. I think Bakugan is also kind of falls in that same category as Battle Beat-em-on.
Where it's like a kind of a game in the thing, but it's more like real things.
Right, yeah. And I think one other, and that's another anime that I think is popular here in the States, because an anime like that, you can easily capitalize on its money-making potential, because you get
marketability.
Exactly. You get a bunch of kids watching the show, and they love the show, and then they want to go out and buy the toys. So I think that's why we also see a lot of game anime. Some animes that you might think are game animes but actually aren't would be like Pokemon and Digimon, because they have like video games and stuff, and you might know them because they were originally a video game, but in the shows, they're not actually playing a game, so it's not considered to be a game anime.
They're called Mon.
Are they
or Monster.
Really?
Yeah. I just found it on another website.
Mon, like a monster genre?
For Monster, yeah. It's a guy, it's got like Digimon and Pokemon and Monster Rancher. Things like that.
Indeed.
I think I would be, likely to kind of poo-poo the game genre, if you will. But after thinking about it for a little bit over the course of yesterday to today, I think it's a pretty important, has an important place within, I guess, the community of anime watchers or something, whatever you want to call it. Because that is a good way to attract new viewers into the medium. I mean, because as kids, that kind of marketability, being able to play with the thing that you watch, is a big, what would you call it? It's a good selling point on a kid. Because kids want that. So
right.
It's good to it's a good way to a gateway, I guess you could say.
It's the
gateway drug.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty important because, I mean, I grew up watching those kinds of shows, and I mean, I don't really watch them anymore. But if I didn't really have those shows, I don't know that I would have gotten into the things that I am now.
Mm-hmm.
At least not at as much of an early age as I did.
Would Saw be considered a game genre?
Would what?
Saw?
I don't think
you
so.
You know, he wants to play a game.
I think that's like torture porn.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not anime either.
He wants to play a game, though.
That's etchy.
That's etchy? What? No.
I'm kidding.
Are you into that? You into
no.
that?
Some people are. Maybe some people go and watch Saw, and then they leave with an erection. Yeah. Who knows? People are into that stuff. Rihanna wrote a whole song about it.
She did.
What?
Rihanna wrote a song called S&M.
I don't know what S&M is.
Keep up with the hipness.
Sadomasochism.
Oh. Oh, is that pronounced masochism?
Yeah.
I never knew that's how it was pronounced.
Indeed.
You need to say hip changes.
Hmm?
You need to say hip changes.
I do. Actually, I saw this. There was a comic that had... I've seen that word before in, like, comics and stuff, but I never knew it was pronounced that way.
Yup. So, on the topic of S&M, what's your next genre?
The genre I picked that I didn't think I knew much about was the demon genre, which essentially is classified by having demons.
not actually related to S&M.
No. Well, no.
Inuyasha, maybe.
Someone's in. See. You know what? Someone's into that. I guarantee.
Yeah, of course. But,
I mean, Inuyasha was a huge thing for ladies because everybody loved Inuyasha or
and
whatever his name was.
I thought Inuyasha was kind of.
I hated that show, but anyways, go on.
I completely forgot about Inuyasha until you guys brought it up yesterday, but that is like the perfect demon anime, along with like Yu Yu Hakusho, which I realized was a demon anime.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other one? Oh, Bleach is also a really popular demon anime.
Death Note.
And I think Death Note would fall in that category, but it probably falls in two of a couple other categories as well.
I'm sure a lot of these shows are. I mean, Inuyasha and Yu Yu Hakusho are also. What was that?
It was nothing. You didn't hear it.
those shows are also shonen shows and action shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure a lot of these, they cross over. I know mine certainly do.
Yeah.
Oh, show.
Did you know that demon in Japanese is pronounced, or maybe it's not pronounced, but it's the word Akuma?
Akuma, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's like a character in some anime.
Street Fighter.
And it's what, in Blood Plus, is what they call the vampires.
They call them Akuma?
Yeah.
Blood Plus, another demon show.
Yeah.
Vampire Hunter D.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Blood, the Last Vampire.
Yeah, then off of Blood... No, wait. The other way around.
What's that one show that was, like, made by the Trigun guy?
Oh, Gunslinger? I'm sure that's a demon one. I don't know if that was the same one you're thinking of, but Gunslinger?
It's got demons in it, yeah. He's like a demon hunter or something.
Yeah. There's a lot of demon hunters.
Yeah. Pretty big genre, I imagine.
Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry?
Yeah,
adapted
it is.
From the game, but...
Oh, okay.
That's last week. Bringing it back. Pulling it all together.
Yeah. Full circle.
So, my genres that I picked... my first one that I felt I knew a little bit about was the slice of life genre, which I bored you guys to death with.
No.
Yesterday when we recorded the first time. But slice of life is essentially a genre that utilizes the mundane, everyday things that happen as its basis, and it relies heavily on characters and the relatability and engagement between character and viewer. And it's actually a really good genre, as boring as it sounds whenever I explain it. And I mean, that show Beck that I pitched whenever I pitched it, was it last time or two episodes ago? That sounded really boring to you guys, but it's actually a really good show, and it's a slice of life series. So like I said with yesterday and when I explained it, it really depends on the characters and whether or not the characters are developed well, whether or not a slice of life will be successful. And successful in the terms of whether or not you're going to like it. But I've also found that slice of life shows typically work best when combined with another sort of genre, whether it's comedy in the form of a show like Danshikokosei no Nichijo or Daily Lives of High School Boys, which is a really, really good show, super funny, but it's mostly comedy, but it's also a slice of life because everything that happens is, for the most part, based in reality and is pretty realistic.
Quick, is it possible to have sci-fi slice of life?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, we talked about
5 meters per second. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yesterday, what is it called? I can never remember. Voices of a Distant Star.
Per second?
No.
And Voices of a Distant Star.
Voices of a Distant Star is the sci-fi one. 5 centimeters per second is
barely.
Mostly romance and slice of life. And
yeah, that's true.
Whoever that director is, had like the art direction.
Makoto Shinkai.
Sure.
Makoto.
his art direction, I don't know if he does the art direction, but that is always fantastic in his productions. But the stories are so slow.
Yeah. Like a dead turtle.
Yeah, it's just really slow and hard to follow. And, I mean, again, it can be hit or miss. But, I mean, I do think that those shows were... I guess they were movies. 5 centimeters per second and Voices of a Distant Star. Voices from a Distant Star? I don't remember. Those are certainly interesting to watch, though not very exciting, and they can get pretty boring. But I think they have some merit somewhere. I guess it's just hard to pick it out. But
I watched that purely on its art style, and it, man, wasn't quite worth it.
Yeah. That is one that you cannot judge by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
Another slice of life that I've watched is Lucky Star, and that's kind of comedy and kind of high school thing. I don't actually know that they're in high school. I think they're in like middle school or grade school or something. Maybe they're in high school, but it's just a bunch of little like girls, and they talk about like their favorite way to eat a certain food, or like they go to like a festival and just kind of walk around. And it's, again, sounds really boring, but it's the characters and like the way that they act around each other and the way that they do things. So it's more like the situations. And again, that one's somewhat comedic, so that's where it gets its excitement, I guess. But I do think slice of life is a really good genre, though it's very hit or miss. And my other that I didn't know much about was Magical Girl. We talked about Puella Magi Madoka Magica, and we found out yesterday when we did our first recording that didn't work, that is considered by many to be the Evangelion of the magical girl genre. So it's like the best of the best.
Or the craziest of the craziest. I don't know what they're trying to do on that comparison.
It could be many things, but I'm going to assume that they mean like really good, because Evangelion is typically held in high regard. But I don't know what I was about to say. Oh, shows that fall in the magical girl genre could be Madoka Magica, Sailor Moon, Strike Witches. What was that show that you watched, Michael, that you pitched?
The Corpse Princess?
Yeah, would that, do you think, fall under the magical girl kind of thing?
Nah. Not really.
Is that more like
much
fantasy
more demon.
Sci-fi? Demon?
Yeah, but yeah, not really. More like they have superpowers. They're not magical.
Ah, I see. Well, yeah, I thought that that was an interesting genre, and hearing that Madoka Magica is held in such high regard. I mean, actually, if you browse like the anime section of Reddit, the subreddit anime one, is there's a lot of posts about that show. And I think it recently ended, and people were upset because they liked it so much. So, I mean, when I watched I watched the first episode of the show, and I thought it seemed pretty cool. It was a neat mixture of, it was kind of cutesy, like you would expect a magical girl show to be, but it also had heavy, like, fantasy vibes to it, really heavy ones, like we talked about last time, but, yeah, I think it's pretty cool, and I imagine that one, again, relies heavily on another genre for it to be really interesting. Like, Sailor Moon was very much like a high school kind of show, school drama, as well as Magical Girl. So, Michael.
Me.
You're up.
I decided for my genre, pick sci-fi, because in general, I think sci-fi is my favorite genre of not just anime, of all things. Books, TV, and video games. And whenever I was actually looking at the genres, I was kind of surprised they split it up. There's also a genre called space that is often incorporated in sci-fi, but it's usually about people who are mainly in space and spacecraft and ships and stuff. Which actually, probably my favorite show, Cowboy Bebop, is more classified under there. But I still would like to feel that it is very sci-fi-y. Because it's like just anything in the future, so... Like Zoid, which doesn't have anything to do with space, but is in the future. It's sci-fi. Mm-hmm. And Gurren Lagann. And I'm sure tons and tons of others. And I just think anime is a wonderful place for sci-fi just because it's a lot easier to do, I would imagine, than TV, where it relies on a lot of CG. So that's why I like sci-fi, because there's a lot of them. So there's definitely tons of sci-fi to choose from anime.
Yeah, I always find sci-fi to be enjoyable.
Hey, is there an anime specifically for... Oh.
What?
Well, I was going to ask about an anime where they use giant robots. Is there a robot anime?
Mecha?
Yeah, there's giant robot anime.
So,
yeah.
Just thinking out loud.
I was going to choose that one, but I figured it would be too much like we already know so much about this.
Right.
Anyway.
Gundam and Big O.
Big O!
Ha! We about did it.
We did.
Yeah. We're great.
So, what's your second one, Michael?
My second one I was picking, and I actually think I've seen more of this than I thought, but Bishonen, which, unless you know Japanese, means nothing to you.
Bishonen?
Bishonen. It's probably Japanese, I don't know. But it's about young males whose beauty exceeds gender somewhat. And is mostly targeted at girls and women in Japan.
Hmm.
So it's like the super pretty girl anime. Like, super pretty boys, I mean. And... I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really watched any animes with that, because... That's definitely not what I'm into. But I've seen more manga. What?
I see, Ouran High School Host Club. Or just
I have not
typically
watched...
Ouran Host Club. I've watched a few episodes of that, and it's very much like you described it.
Very pretty boys.
Yeah, it's...
With a strong sense of homosexuality.
Yeah. It's like homosexual undertones.
Yeah, that's definitely super true with the whole pretty boy thing, because then all the guys are attracted to him, and then they're like, wait, you're not a guy?
It's basically that those shows seem to be like essentially designed for the purpose of fueling people's yaoi fantasies.
Yeah, I've never watched. I've seen like those on Netflix. They have Fruit Basket, I'm pretty sure, the High School Club thing, but never watched them.
Yeah, I've heard things about Fruits Basket. It's actually a pretty good show. I'm sure those shows rely a lot on relationships and whatnot.
Well, yeah, it's normally paired with slice of life right up your alley.
Yeah.
It's, like, kind of the opposite of something I would watch, though. Like I have said, I watch anime for the exact opposite reasons you watch it. I watch it to see something I would never see in normal life and to kind of escape reality. And that's why I pick sci-fi.
I enjoy that as well. I mean, I love, like, my favorite shows are the ones that are, like, completely impossible. Stuff like Paranoia Agent, Fooly Cooly,
yeah.
Gurren Lagann. But I do have a deep appreciation for the shows that place themselves more in reality than in fantasy.
I mean, even in, like, popular television and stuff, I still stray away from those sort of things.
Stray away from what?
Like... anything based in reality.
Yeah. It's just not exciting, and I don't think people...
Yeah,
reality TV that we have is, like, Jersey Shore and stuff, and that stuff is hard to believe is actually reality.
Yeah,
so.
That's not real. Hey, do you think we'll ever see a Bishonen in America, like, on an anime thing? Because there's no Bishonen that's being shown.
Like, widely broadcasted?
Yeah. I don't feel like we will.
Doubtful. I don't think there is enough of a market for it. Especially not.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if there was like a like a cable channel or a satellite channel specifically dedicated to anime?
Well, there is the Anime Network.
Yeah, okay. Well, then you might see something like that on there. But again, that's not really widely broadcast.
True that.
It's more of a narrow cast.
Well, that's my one that I've never... Well, I guess I knew about it because I've heard of it. And definitely seen mangas, but didn't know the name of it.
Bishonen. Basically meaning beautiful youth.
Oh, interesting.
Specifically male.
Is there a female version of that, you think? Like
Bishoujo?
Like ladies? How is it?
I don't know. I mean...
Not listed here.
Possibly. Yeah, Bishoujo is one. Beautiful young girl.
Oh.
Another... I was just looking through a list of... through one of the lists of genres, and I came across the psychological genre, which sounded interesting, and after looking through...
Paranoia Agent.
Yeah, well, Paranoia Agent.
Death Note.
Perfect Blue.
Death Note as well. Perfect Blue, I'm sure, would be... I'm looking at some things. Evangelion is listed. Madoka Magica? Or I guess it's Maho Shoujo. Madoka Magica, not Puella Magi.
Oh, Code Geass. I watched a couple episodes of that. Code Geass.
Yeah, Perfect Blue is listed. Puella Magi, Madoka Magica, Razaphon. Yeah, I think that Tech on Kinkreet is listed. I think it's an interesting subgenre, and I think a lot of shows that fall in that are usually some of the best ones. Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah, because they're meant to be...
thought about.
Well, designed to make you think, I believe.
Yeah, that's kind of what I said.
Twists and... Oh, you cut out. What did you say?
I said thought about.
Ah, yes.
And then you're like, yeah, they're supposed to make you think. That's something else. Awesome. Yeah, that's what
I'm just trying to drive that point home.
Gotcha. Yeah, like, I really enjoyed Death Note for that reason. I do think, though, that probably a lot of those shows might have huge plot holes. Because I know, like, in Death Note, there are huge plot holes. So...
There's none in Evangelion. Really,
It takes a really good writer to make a good psychological TV show or anime, because generally they'll write a story and you can follow along with the story, but then you think about it and you're like, wait a minute, if he has the power to kill anyone he wants, he could just do this and easily. It's kind of like when you play, now this is kind of going off topic, but if anyone's ever played the Phoenix Wright games, You know what I mean? It's like, well, I guess you could solve the case that way, but you could do it this way and it would be so much quicker and better. So, I don't know. I think a lot of those shows also might fall into that same sort of trap.
So, and for the sake of time, Ian, do you want to pitch real quick?
Yeah, definitely. I'll pitch Black Lagoon.
The pitch.
Let's see here. Give me just a second while I bring my notes up.
Oh, notes. Very nice.
Oh. This is just a free balling.
I know, but it's been a while since I watched it. Okay. So, Creature from the Black Lagoon was a 1954 monster horror film. Just kidding, guys. Sure. Have you guys ever heard of Creature from the Black Lagoon?
Yes.
Yeah?
Okay, yeah. It was an awful horror movie. Completely unrelated to Black Lagoon. Black Lagoon is an anime. I think it's 24 episodes long.
I believe
it went by really quickly. I just watched like 3 episodes a day. Well, I probably watched more than that. But essentially, it centers around, I guess, 3 main characters generally, but there's like a 4th guy that pilots the ship. But essentially, this Japanese guy gets kidnapped by some pirates, and he becomes like a modern day pirate. It's set in like the 90s, I think. Probably like the late 90s, essentially this Japanese business guy gets tangled up with these pirates, and his company doesn't want him back, and so he decides to just stay with the pirates because they seem like interesting fellows, and he gets to get away from like the boring city life. And so there are a few different story arcs. I do know that some of them in the English dub or sub or by Viz, like they didn't air, there was a specific story arc that had two little kids that it was really kind of creepy. Like, I'm not going to go into too much detail because you guys, I would recommend that you all watch this because it's pretty interesting. There's a lot of action. Let's see here. I don't really want to give too much of the story away, just a basic theme. If you like people getting shot at and killed,
I do.
I would recommend this anime. If you like a lot of cool-looking characters, I would watch this anime. If you can't stand TV shows where characters can stand 5 feet away from each other and continually shoot guns at each other and no one dies, I wouldn't watch this anime. If you can't stand when like someone has a sword and he's fighting someone with a gun, and the guy with the sword seems to be completely undefeatable, I wouldn't watch this anime because that happens a lot. But overall, I'd recommend it. I would give it. I'm pretty stringent with my ratings on animes. Like some of my favorite all time animes, like Yu Yu Hakusho and Dragon Ball Z, I'd probably give like Yu Yu Hakusho an 8 and Dragon Ball Z a 9. I'd probably give Black Lagoon a 7, or like a 6.7. It's interesting, and it's entertaining.
6.7?
What'd you say?
It's a 6.7, so just
yeah, 6.7.
It's a little better than a 6.5.
You're right, yeah, it's definitely better than 6.5, but I'm not sure if it's really a 7. Because it's interesting and it's fun. But there's a lot of, there's a lot of things about it that are annoying. Like, characters that I didn't specifically like, a lot of the enemies were really weird, plot lines that didn't exactly make any sense. But for a lot of the characters that I didn't like, there were actually some really interesting parts in the show that I thought were really well done. Although all the characters speak Japanese for the sake of the show, you know what I mean? So people in Japan can understand what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
They also speak other languages. There's part where they go back to Japan for a mission that they have, and like the Japanese, because there's this Russian mafia boss that, or not mafia boss, but there's this Russian lady that is like has a lot of power, and she's trying to negotiate with the Yakuza, and so Japanese dude that's part of the Black Lagoon, or the parts of the Black Lagoon, goes to translate. And so she'll speak in English, and then he'll translate that to Japanese. And the Japanese people can also speak some amount of English. And so, like, you'll actually be able to hear the characters speaking English. And Revy, who's one of the main characters, she's the gun-happy chick that's always shooting and killing people. She's actually Chinese, and she'll speak Chinese sometimes, I believe. Yeah, I can't really differentiate Chinese and Japanese, but I'm pretty sure she can speak Chinese.
Is this in the English dub?
I watched Japanese with English subs.
Mm.
The English dub I have not paid attention to. Just because, personally, I like subs better than dubs. For shows like this, if I don't really care about the show, I'll try and get a dubbed version so I can do something else while I just listen to it. Like, when I watch Naruto, I just get English dubs and play it on 1.25 times speed in VLC. And so, like, I could blow through this, like, an episode in 15 minutes. Because there's, like, millions and millions of episodes of Naruto. But this was only 24 episodes, so I didn't... It never lost my interest, I should say.
That's good.
Yeah.
How's the art style?
The art style?
Yeah. How does the art look?
It looks really well done. It's not quite to the level, you know how Dragon Ball Z started out, kind of, you know how the art style in Dragon Ball Z has evolved, you know what I mean? Like, if you compare how they animate the cartoons at the start of the series versus the end, and then how they animate, like, the intros for their video games, you know what I'm talking about? How everything looks super shiny in the intros for the video games?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's kind of like, it's not there, but it is definitely on par with, like, later Dragon Ball Z episodes. So, they do use a lot of different colors, and the shading is really well done. It's a little bit darker, and the backgrounds generally don't look like crap.
When was it made?
The original run, I think, started in 2002.
Okay. I mean, that seems about appropriate for the level of art. I mean, yeah, if you equate it to late DBZ.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad by any means, but it isn't, is it Gundam Unicorn that's really awesome looking?
Oh, I don't know.
There are some other animes that look better than it. Like, and if you watch maybe Howl's Moving Castle or Paprika or movie, you know, they put a lot more quality into the animation.
Certainly.
And Black Lagoon doesn't live up to that standard, but it's still good looking. Like, it looks good.
Okay.
Yep. So I would definitely recommend this. Recommend you watch this if you do like action. If you don't like action, you probably won't enjoy it as much. It definitely falls into the girls with guns trope, and the two main characters are like chicks. Yep. Anything else you guys want to know about it, or other questions that you had about the show?
I think you covered mine. Are the characters are cool?
The characters are, because they, like I said, I was kind of going at how sometimes they'll speak different languages and stuff. There's a black dude that's the captain of the pirates. The pilot is Jewish. The gunslinger girl is Chinese. And the Japanese guy is Japanese. And so it's kind of interesting because they use a lot of references from other countries. Like, they reference the Alamo, and they reference one of the enemies looks like Elvis at one point, and they do a lot of that stuff. And I thought that was really cool, because I think America is notorious for being completely culturally unaware of other countries and stuff. And so I thought that was kind of entertaining.
That's cool.
I don't think it's like a selling point of the anime, but I really enjoyed the little touches they did with stuff like that.
Yeah, that's always nice to have, like, cool details about a mm-hmm. show that just add to its appeal.
Kind of like when you're watching Fooly Cooly and you pick up the reference for Star Trek or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
7 of 9 heaves a sigh. What do you have? Cyborg. I guess that's pretty much it. Covered mostly everything. Michael, you're still there?
I am right here.
All right.
Did you have any questions?
I don't think so.
Were you paying attention?
Well, yeah, I heard it. I looked at pictures.
What was the name of the anime?
Black Lagoon.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
You must have been paying attention.
So
it looked like kind of old and from the 50s, so I don't know if I'll like it. Because of the movie? Okay. Oh. Never mind.
Oh. I get it.
That joke is so old.
That joke's so old, it's worse than the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Good one, Titan.
We're full of good jokes right now.
I'm going to put in a drum thing like the ba-doom-tsh. So, that's just how good my joke was.
Yeah, it does deserve it.
And I'm gonna put like a wah 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 on yours.
You jerk. What a jerk. My joke was better and you guys didn't get it.
What you should really do is try to get Reggie saying my body is ready and try and put that, or just have one of us saying it and put it in the intro.
Here, you say my body is ready and I'll put it in the intro.
My body is ready. My body is ready. My body is ready.
That's it. The end, yet again, of an episode of Concast. Next week, we'll be discussing the film Tokyo Godfathers, If you'd like to take part in the conversation, send us some questions at theconcast@gmail.com. If you have any other questions, corrections, comments, or suggestions, you can send them there as well. Our opening and closing themes were created by Misfit Chris. For more of his music, check out misfitchris.com. Once again, I'm Mike Westfall, and this has been Concast.